Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Hallelujah. Oh, you can take your seat. It's the month of May. We are still in the month of May, and we are still celebrating our prophet, our pastor, our teacher, our founder, Bishop Dyke Heward Mills. So please, he's been a very good father to us all. But this morning, we have in the house our pastor, who teaches us on a daily. If you've not subscribed to the podcast, you are really missing something. And this morning, I would want to welcome to this stage our anointed pastor, our preacher, someone who teaches and God uses every time. And I believe that you will be saved. Let's welcome Jesus, Ian Joy.
Oh, Galilee. Whether rain or shine, whether rain or shine, day or night, day or night, he leads the way. He owns my life. He says the way of Galilee. Whether rain or shine, day or night, day or night, he leads the way. Oh, he holds the reins of my life. Just make me perfect peace. No one can love me as Jesus does, shedding his blood for me. Oh, what a friend. 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 Jesus said.
Actually, I'm not sure whether you sang the song or not. I'm not sure you sang. Ask your neighbor, did you sing? Did you see the words some? Then I think that at least we should take it again now. Hey, and come and cry. Come on, let's go. Sing it as if you've got a spirit in you.
He holds my life. Hey. Sister
of Galilee.
Of Galilee.
Where the rain or shine. Holds my life.
Oh, God,
whether rain or shine,
day or night,
lead the way.
He holds the rain storms of my life and gives me peace, perfect peace. No one can love me like Jesus does, shedding his blood.
To find your Bible this morning and let us make our confession. Wow, ask your neighbor, till now you don't have a Bible. I'm watching you. Lift it up, let's go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Take your seat. Wow. Wow. I want you to tell your neighbor it's nice to be sitting by you. And it's nice to have you in church. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, before I start preaching, I just want to share a couple of announcements. In fact, the first thing is that we will be having our Women in Ministry conference on the 14th to the 15th of June. Amen. Right here. On the 14th, it's in the evening. We're coming together as women and we just want to pray. There was something about the curse when Jesus cursed the serpent. He said something. He said, I shall put enmity here between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. Then he goes on to say that she will bruise your head and you will bruise her heel. So, Charlie, the enmity is against all mankind, but I think we have an extra dose. So, that prayer meeting, we are coming to tame our cat. We are removing our ears. That particular prayer meeting. Amen. And then the following day, we'll be here, and the theme is Jezebel, the woman out of order. Usually, when I'm having the women's conferences, I always tell the men not to come. But this time, because of what I'm dealing with, wait. In the Bible, who was affected by Jezebel? The woman or the man? The man. Exactly. So only for this year, come and know what the characteristics of a Jezebel are. Are you getting me? Please, it's okay. Take me to Revelation chapter 2. You know, I want you to see that I think the book is a very interesting one. We should just enter. Look at something. Revelation chapter 2, from verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This scripture fascinates me because the church that God was talking about was a good one. Look at it. He commends them at first though. He said, your works, are you there? Your charity is your love. Your service. Hey, me and you, if we start to check our service right now, I don't know how it will be. But these were good. It was a good place, you know. It says your patience. He mentions the works again. So it was clear that this is a good place. I mean, good things are happening. And yet, in the midst of that, there's something, you know. There's a Jezebel. So I realized it's not as endaform, sir, if I can put it that way. Clearly, she's not as easily recognizable as you would think. Because you would think that such a church, they would easily, if it was something wrong, they would have seen it, they would have sorted it out. So, 15th of June, we shall dive inside. Amen. And I need to tell you that my father says that Jezebel is a spirit, so it can be in a man or in a woman. Only that in most of that, at least what I see in the Bible, more of it is in a woman. Yeah, so we shall. For the ladies, we are coming to see so that we will not fall inside that. We will not fall inside. Hey, tell neighbor, don't fall inside. Yeah. Because the way the woman is a prophetess and can preach, I don't think she may not have started out as a Jezebel. But by the time she was done, it says she was seducing. You see, that's the, what should I call it? One of the identification something. To seduce somebody, you make the person do what he has not really planned to do. What the person hasn't really planned. And if you look in the Bible, you can see how Jezebel enticed Ahab. She made him do what he wouldn't have done. Yeah. But she did it very sweetly. Hey, Because she was fighting for him. She said, I will give you. Ah, are you not the king? Are you not the king? I will give you what you want. It's what everybody wants to hear. Amen. So I'm looking forward to just studying that book. And we, of course, will just pull together a few things. And I believe we'll have a good time. Amen, amen, amen. And the second thing is that at the end of this service, when we will actually even share the grace, but I would urge you to stay for the appointment of pastors and an ordination. Amen. So we always do it in May. You'll find it happening in May or in November. In this church, I don't think we've done it in November before. So we're always on the May, whatever. And I believe we'll have a good time. Beautiful. But until then, we have something to talk about. Enlargement secrets. Enlargement secrets. Hey. Ask your neighbor, is anything about you getting better? Or getting bigger? Yeah. Oh, you're working in the night. It's too powerful. Somebody was telling me that the thesis no chale or yeah, yeah. By sitting up in the night. So it's working on us. Push your neighbor and say, it's working, it's working. Hallelujah. We've talked about so many things. We've talked about recognizing the season of enlargement. We've talked about being guided, enlarged by being guided by your recent history. We've talked about involving everyone in the work. And then I think last week we spoke about enlarge with all night work. Are you there? I hope the all nights are working. Amen. Amen. And I believe that I was just tickled when I heard there were some choir all night. And there were something. Dancing stars. You people, you didn't do all night. Another group of dancing stars, they did all night. Yeah, it just helps. Polishes us. Powerful. Now, today we are going to talk about enlarging with equal amounts of spirituality and wisdom. Equal amounts, spirituality and wisdom. Hallelujah. Oh, are you there? Spirituality and wisdom. These are two powerful things. And sometimes you might be tempted to think it is this one or this one. But in this case, we're talking about enlargement that's coming from not just this and not just that, but both of them, spirituality and wisdom. We've been studying enlargement this whole month, and we have used Joshua, the book of Joshua, as our template. So if you like such things, get the book, get your book of Joshua and read through, because some of the enlargement secrets are even wilder. And we don't have time to go through all. But it's very important because it takes more than one thing to see something grow. If you see a child growing, it's not just because the child has water to drink. There's water, there's food, there's even love. There's care, there's medicine, there's what again? Learning, what? Sleep, toys. Some of you don't give your children toys. That's the reason why they disturb you. It's all part. It's all part. Even the church. Yeah. It's all part of what you see as the child growing. And if you remove any one of them, you may not like what you see or what will happen. Imagine that you withdraw water. Without water, do you know, after you can't eat. How many of you don't mind? You don't drink water. You just be eating. You see that at a point you are even hungry, but you're not able to eat. You need the water. Yeah. So many things go in, and we're saying that spirituality is needed and wisdom is needed. Now, we're taking our text from Joshua chapter 7. It's a very long story, so we cannot read the whole thing. But in Joshua chapter 7, they had been defeated in the town of Ai, and they wondered what was going on. Because all along, we've been succeeding. God has told us he's with us. God has told us that every battle we fight, he'll be with us. What has happened? And we have been beaten. Now, when they were beaten, Joshua did not just immediately call a cabinet meeting. Let us come and re-strategize the war. You could have understood if he did, because after all, a war is fought on earth. But before that, he decided that he was going to do the spiritual side. And there are some of us here today, if you would take some of your problems spiritually first, you might have had a breakthrough by this time. Amen. So don't just say, oh, it's because the cedi is losing value compared to the dollar. Are you in the house? The economy is bad. The war between, now they have not added Israel and Gaza yet. Are you here? You can find other reasons, but why don't we start and let's begin with the spiritual ones? Because that's what we see in this book. There is, you know, in the book, there's a term I really like. Bishop keeps saying the Joshua generation. The Joshua generation. The Joshua generation. That was a generation that came up after the first generation. And they used wisdom gleaned from the mistakes of the first generation. You don't look down on the generation, you learn from the mistakes. So yes, your father has 25 children from 8 women. Learn. You have started early. I don't know who I'm talking to. You have started early. You see, he may not have had access to the advice you have, but you at least have access to the quarreling that it brought, to the division that it brought, to the problems that it brought. So you just add it into your bag of learning and you just change things. So you will see that the Joshua generation, they did not go to despise their fathers. No. They never insulted them, never said them, but they just learned something. That our fathers, they didn't tackle things in a certain way. And so it came back on us all. You know, they realized, for example, that when sin abounded in the place, Charlie, it was accommodated. And the result was that they all stood in one place for 40 years. And God was done with them. So when they came, they said, hey, we did. We'll not do this. So now here is a situation. And they find that they are losing the war. And Joshua immediately, this one, Moses also used to do it. He talked to God. So he goes to speak to God. And the Lord now tells him something. Let's pick the story up in verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Wherefore lies thee thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. They have even taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until thou take away the accursed thing from among thee. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to families. The family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. The household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has wrought folly in Israel. Tell your neighbor, my goodness. My goodness. See something. The Lord came out and spoke. And honestly, if we want to hear the Lord, he will actually talk to us. And he told them exactly what had gone wrong. Because he had told them, as you are going on this war, destroy everything. Don't take anything. Just clear everything. He may not have explained it. Some of us, until something is explained, we don't do it. Because he did not explain to them that the things in this place and everybody, everything here is under a curse. He didn't say it. But now, that somebody has gone and done what he said not to do, he is now telling them, look, you went, number one. You stole, number two. But after stealing, you brought the thing into the camp. So the curse or whatever it was that was working, you have now brought it into the camp of Israel. And then he said, I won't talk to you again. I don't know you again until you remove this thing. I tell you, they did it and the thing was very wild. Let me read for you. The same chapter 7. They brought, you know, as he had said, tribe by tribe, household by household, until it came to the household of a man called Achan. And then Joshua asked him, what have you done? And Achan answered, verse 20, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This and this have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Joshua sent messengers, they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua, and to all the children of Israel. Are you there? I want you to see the judgment, verse 24. Joshua and all Israel with him, they took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought it to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And they stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Listen, they collected everything associated in any way. I mean, the sheep, what have they done? You know, it's a very sad story, but it is also a very severe story, because it makes us understand that you can do something that will affect other people in a certain way. Are you there? His whole family suffered because of this. The whole family. Hey, they all lost their lives. Like, Charlie, because of you, God will not listen to us. Bury. Meanwhile, there are some of us today, God is not speaking to you because you've aligned yourself to one person who is leading you astray. Is it not better to cut? Thankfully, we are not allowed to kill you. Hey! Push your neighbor and say, hey! Right now, we don't kill, no. But sometimes you must allow the person to live your life. Remember when we're even starting, recognize your season of enlargement. I shared with you how somebody even leaving your life, I mean, is sometimes it's even good. The person that you have been... I don't want to say. Have you never had a friend that when the person comes to visit, you realize that you don't pray again? Yeah, there are friends like that. You see? Or you realize that suddenly your Christianity is like this, like that. You see? And some of us, we need to understand that it's not only good things that are introduced by friends, bad things too. Everybody who smokes weed was not introduced to it by an enemy. Okay. I'll carry my story. It's a friend, yeah. Cry. The first girl you slept with is your friends who put you up to it. They talked, and sometimes they even arranged the whole thing. Hey. Your father was strict like something. They were able to organize you away to a place. Hey, look. So you have to see that the fact that the person is your friend doesn't necessarily mean that you must continue. Not at least if you want to go on with the Lord. Because there are times when God has a lot to say with you, to you, but he will not talk till those people leave. Another example was Abraham. When Abraham was asked to leave his father's house, honestly, Lot did not make him sin. But for as long as Lot was with Abraham, God never spoke. Never spoke. It was after he separated him from Lot. And then Lot said, me, I want this place. He said, go, take it. That's when the Lord now came and said, look, all this place that your eye can see, including the one that Lot has taken, I've given it to you. Am I speaking to some people today? Yeah. I'm sharing something with you. So I want you to see that Joshua dealt with the spiritual thing. And I want to share with you today that please deal with the spiritual things. Sometimes you need to ask God about it because it may not look spiritual, but it is. Push your neighbor and say, the thing may not look spiritual, but it is. Amen. Yeah. Because that defeat they suffered at Ai, you could easily say, oh, they didn't take enough people. Because they used to take more than that. The people who went to look said, oh, Ai is a small place, so only send some 3,000. You could have said, oh, it's a physical thing. But there was a spiritual answer. Every day you are failing at school. Every job they are sacking you. Sometimes there is a spiritual reason. Are you in the house? There are families where marriage never works. You don't like hearing such things. Yeah. So the marriage is failing not because of a problem in you or your lady, but because something spiritual is inside. How many of you have had some spiritual surprises before? Yeah, me too, my hand is up. A few things, ah. And it is not just, you see, it happens to anybody at any age. I was amazed the day that I was reading something written by Yonggi Cho. So he and his wife had been quarreling, but every day quarreling. You thought spiritual people don't quarrel. Thought it's only you. Then he said he was just praying. And then he just, as he was praying, he said, every demon of whatever, quarrelsomeness, and I get out of here. Hey! When he heard the sound, he realized that something has actually left. And he said, the quarrel too, that was the end. I said, ah. This normal-looking quarrel, there was something behind it. Push your neighbor and say, neighbor, I think we must, there must, something. Tell neighbor, something. Something. Another one, a very nice man of God, he's even preached here before. He was giving a testimony how he was praying with his people. They were praying. They'd been praying for a while. Because they were building their church in a place. In the middle of the prayer, a woman, physical woman, that he saw, a woman walks out. And she comes and starts to blast them. She has been here 400 years. And you are coming to hey! 400 years. Then she said, the man of God said, hey, the woman said, our headquarters, it is here. And the other, what do you call it? Sub whatever, it's at Ashaiman. And the man of God said, the spirit gave him Google location of where the evil spirits are. Are you in the church? I'm asking you a question. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Now, so what happened next? Let us continue the story in Joshua chapter 8. Are you enjoying the by the fireside story this rainy Sunday? So Joshua arose, Joshua 8, I'm reading from verse 3, and all the people of war to go up against Ai. Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. He commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach to the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as at first, that we shall flee before them, for they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at first, therefore we will flee before them. Then you will rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you. So what is chapter 8 saying? So chapter 8 is saying that after the spiritual time, after the time of prayer, after the time of sorting out the spiritual thing, they now came to draw up. Joshua now gave a strategy of taking the city. And he now counted the people. There was a lot of deliberate action. And he took 30,000 people. Said, these 30,000, now have you seen that now he's taking everybody on board? you be at the back of the city. Then me and some people will go towards I, like how we did the first time. And then when they are coming, we'll turn and we'll run away. Because when we run away, then they will say, hey, how they ran the first time? See, they are running again. And they will run after us. And we'll take them for, when they all come out, then you who are here, enter the, what do you call it? The city. And do what? Set it on fire. Wow. What a strategy. I said, what a strategy. What a strategy. Hallelujah. Am I talking to some people in the church this morning? They finished the spiritual thing, then they came to think. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you thought? Are you insulting? Why? How can it be an insult? If the last time you thought was last night, it's But if the last time you thought was 3 years ago? Because some of us, we don't think at all. We are given to feelings. I feel. Yes, your emotions. I feel. I beg you. You want to follow feelings? Have you not risen up from your bed? Wait. Who here, you have cried before, you didn't know why you were crying? Look at it too. Look at us. Just look at us. I almost said ladies, but I'm seeing that some gentlemen too put their hand up. No, it's real. It's just there. I mean, he can't even really pinpoint why. No, I'm just saying this to say something. Not because anything is wrong. I'm just showing you how the emotions too can be doing their own thing. Yeah. There may be a reason, but there may also not be a reason. So if you are given to following your emotions, if you don't take care, you will spoil something you really like. A certain man, he wanted to show his wife. So when something happened, he told her that then I'm divorcing you. Here are the papers. Hey. My lawyer. The woman too collected the papers. He had signed the paper. She also signed. Oh. Me, I don't know where this. Thank you. The man, and he actually said it that, oh, how can you say you are? How could you submit that this thing that we're not divorcing? She said, emotions. We cannot follow emotions like that. Hey, tell the neighbor, please, we cannot follow emotions like that. No, we can't. Before you are aware, you went to collect the dress. The seamstress didn't sew your style. You were very angry. It was a nice dress, but you were angry because they didn't sew your style. Before you were aware, you have taken the dress and dashed it to your friend. The way your friend... What was happening? Emotions have led you. Are you getting it? And so that's why I'm saying that it's not emotion. Sometimes you must sit down and actually think. And I'm saying that, you know, permit me to say that as a people, we are highly sanguinic. When I say sanguine, we laugh. Oh. It has its good side. It has saved us from many a sorrow. Many things that other countries will sit down and be depressed, shall they? Somebody will come and put a wicked joke and we'll all laugh and it will lose the power. We are highly sanguinic. But sometimes it's not about sanguinity. Think. One of my favorite questions on this earth is to ask people during their national service. Especially around the month of March, April. Sometimes earlier, I ask them, what are you doing after service? You should come and hear answers. You realize that the person hasn't thought at all. You have not thought at all. It's like you are ending another phase. It has not occurred to you that before you get there, you should have thought, what next? Is it more work? Is it school? Whatever it is, it needs an action to follow. Somebody will say, I'm going to start a business. Praise the Lord. What business are you going to start? Oh, I'll be selling fish. Then you ask, okay, as far as I know, We don't have beach here. So all our fish here will be fresh water. So where are you going to be getting the rest of your fish? Maybe from Accra. Maybe. You have not thought. You have not thought. What does it mean to have a business selling fish? You have not thought about the fact that if you are selling fish, you cannot depend on ECG. You have not thought. Even on a good day, you cannot think of, you cannot. So when you are finished praying, by all means, do the spiritual. But when you are done, wisdom, the wisdom thing, think. Hey. I cannot emphasize it enough. Think. You have prayed and prayed and prayed. My children will go to school. Now, which school? Think. Don't just send your child to a school. Baller in, baller out. Baller school, baller out. Hello? What do you want to see in your child? What do you want? Yeah. Basically, you look at your, what can I do? What's the best? You don't just get up. Okay, I finished praying. Let's go. Hey. Ask your neighbor, what you talking? What you talking? You want to choose a wife? First. Do the spiritual first. Do the spiritual. You know, I cannot emphasize it enough. I have people who wait until they are falling for the person. Then you say you're going to pray. I can tell you, you will never hear God. You will hear. Ah. Your heart has gone already. Will you hear? As you are praying, you are asking God questions. Then you'll be saying, Jehovah, say yes. Jehovah, say yes. Oh, say yes. You're not here. Hello. If you are sitting by a young unmarried person, and most of you are not married, tell them, pray before. Pray before. Don't wait until you fall in love. Pray before. Hold on. Hold on. After you have prayed before, and then you have now seen the potential, you pray again. I don't know of anything else I can think of that can change your life to the degree that a marriage can. Yes, yes. So you better be serious about it. Yeah. But when you finish, then now the wisdom comes inside. What is the wisdom part? Temperament. Are we compatible? Let's go and take the medical exam and see how our blood test is doing. Yeah. No, it's real. It's real. It's real. Our education levels, how are they? Because there can be a lot of fights based on education. Yeah. You are very quiet. If the woman is more educated than you, Ghana man, one of the favorite accusations, you don't respect me because of your kidding. Yeah. If she's older, you don't respect me because of your age. So you better think about what you are doing. Hey, the church is very quiet again. Allow me to say. Yeah. Yeah. Because there is no point. You go and marry, then after you start to complain. My husband, before he married me, he knew that I was heading for a PhD. Straight away. He knew already. So when I was going, when I got bored and my gun waves came, I said, I won't go again. He cried, the one saying, you finish it. Yes, you have to finish. As for guns, our things come. I woke up one morning, I said, why? Why? The thing I said I would do, I've stopped. And He wasn't happy. He said, no. You'll finish it. But you, if you know that you don't have that kind of confidence, because you have to be a confident man, then just don't go there. Just don't go there. Pick somebody that you can live with. He has never accused me in this life. And this year is year 37. He has never accused me that, oh, because you have a PhD, I don't have a PhD, so because of that, you don't respect me. No. Use your head. Tell your neighbor. Hey. You're a young lady. You say, look, me, I cannot cook. I don't want to do housekeeping. I want to go globetrotting. No problem. Just don't marry. End of story, okay? Think about it. Think. Hey, mommy, it's not like that. You see, nowadays, we are liberated. We are what liberated? It has all passed over us. So here in Ghana, there's nothing like that. Are we liberated? You can be as liberated as you like. You can put all the degrees when you finish. So if you know that you cannot, just tell us you won't marry. There's no law that says you must marry. Just after you are finished deciding that you won't marry, don't come and cry. Please let me finish my sermon. I'm ending. Amen. But don't be there and say, I cannot cook. I can't clean. I can't work. The kitchen's not for me. I can't do all these things. Don't be there and say this and then marry. No. Shared responsibility in this Ghana. Please, I was young and now I am old. And I have not seen it work in this nation that we are in. No. I've not seen it work at all. They are kind men. They are helpful men, but that is just not with us. It's just not there. It's not a matter of anybody being wicked. Nothing. It's just not there. It's not. It doesn't. Liz, have you seen some? Maybe. Let me have you seen. Oh, have you seen? Ajay, push your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you hearing? So, by all means, go and do all the degrees that you want. DDT. BBX, EFG. When you finish, know that if you are going to do the thing they call marriage here in this our nation, hey, the other things, they are part. You should have been here for the first service film. They were doing some film where the girl had a British friend who told her that she should tell the parents to give her what? Her personal space. Oh, yeah. That the thing that they are doing is close to child abuse. Please, not here. Hey! That she should call her mother Matilda and her father Jonas. Hey! Here. Yo. Push your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, do the spiritual part. And then tell the neighbor, do the wisdom part. I feel like speaking to my business people. Do the spiritual part. And then do the wisdom part. Are you there? Open the shop. Pour the oil. Now I'm very serious about what I'm saying. Anoint your head. Pray for the ideas. Ask God, when you hear the thing, do according to what God says. Yes. Then you hear that God says, do this, and then sit down and think about it. Amen. Amen. Solid advice I'm giving some people. Because the world is a spiritual world. It's a very spiritual world. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So I said, do the what? Spiritual. And when you finish, the wisdom. Think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you are a student, don't just wake up and say, I'm good in maths. No. Good. Pray. And then think. Sometimes when people come and say, I'm doing this service, and I ask them, after this, what work will you do? You see that the room is quiet. You just wanted to feel big among your friends. that you are doing this and this and this and this subject. What work are you going to do with it? Hey, tell your neighbor that you cannot eat pencil and get full. Hey, hallelujah. I believe that the Lord is helping us. Amen. Enlarge with equal amounts of spirituality and wisdom. And may the Lord really help us. Hallelujah. The last point I'm going to give you, I will not go deep into it. I'll just mention it. Enlarge by using data. Enlarge by using data. Using technology. Using truth. Using facts. Amen. Enlarge. You see, I'm bringing it up because it's closely related to the wisdom. Enlarge by using data. What do the figures say? What do the figures say? We like to estimate. Oh, about 1,000. Hey, where did we go? They said there are about 5,000 people in my church. Do you remember? I had to hold myself because I almost said from the church, what is that? What did you say? No, we don't estimate like that. We count. And you see, when you count the thing, after some time, it tells a story. Yeah. The figures tell you a story. The figures tell you. Some of you, if you look at your data, you see that you're wasting money. Yeah. You see that you're wasting money. If you decide that every money given to you, every money you earn, every, you know, money coming, you are going to put it down. At the end of the year, you'll kick yourself. You will want to swear that, no, this money did not come to me. You see, when it is coming, the eaters are there. So it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. So your pocket is always relatively at the same place. But if you put it down, some of you will be surprised that last year God gave you 100,000. You see, you can't say no because you didn't put it down. You didn't write it. So you don't have any data. That's why you cannot say, oh, it's not like that. I love it when people say that, oh, I didn't pay tithe because God didn't give me any money. I have just one challenge for you. If God did not give you any money, when we are collecting tithes, take an envelope, put zero in it, sign it and put it in the basket. After all, 10% of zero is what? But all these years that I've been a pastor, I'm yet to see somebody do it. Do you know why? Because even in the middle of brokenness, God gave them something. That's why you cannot just take the envelope. Ah, you said God gave you nothing. He says, bring me 10% of all that he has given to you. Any percentage out of zero is zero. So bring that here and say, Lord, the way you have given me zero, if you are giving me, I also have given you 10%. But since 10% of zero is zero, because he gave you something. Only that you didn't respect it, you didn't put the data down to see what he has given you. Data. Data. Are you there? Enlarge with data. Data speak the truth. It speaks the truth. Emotions tell lies. Feelings tell lies. But data, it speaks the truth. Hey. Facts, they speak the truth. People like emotionalism, but Charlie, look at the facts on the case. Yeah. It will help you. Am I talking to somebody this morning? It will help you to move in the correct direction. Joshua chapter 8. You will see that in Joshua 8, it says, Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people. So he counted them. Didn't just estimate. Before he started saying 10,000 here, 30,000 here, he counted them. Don't ask me how he counted in those days, when they don't have the things we have to count quickly. He counted, and based on what he had, if you put down, business people, you put down all your expenditures, there are some things you won't do. If you really put income versus expenditure,
Some things you not do them. You not do them. Hey, you have seen an idea, oh? Yeah. Yeah. There are some things I don't do in this church anymore. If you see me come and say, let's do a boogie king, it's for fun. I don't do boogie king to win souls. No. Because when I put down expense of a boogie king, I put down, effort is also an expense. I put down all that went into it to the number of souls won. Better to do something else. There are so many other things that give us less expenditure, more souls. Put it down. You say, my parents don't give me money. Put it down. Write it and let's see whether it's true that they don't give you money. Because I met somebody, 1,200 every 2 weeks. The person is able to be broke. I see some working people say, 1,002 every week, every 2 weeks. That means in a month, 2,004. 2004. Working people are saying. And so when I heard, I said, they should tell the person, I said, people ain't have the salary with wife and children. I've not even added all the bills. But you see, because you've not put it down, because you've not taken the data, and because you've not looked at what you spend it on. What? Bread and egg. Kelly Willy. Yo. Data. Okay. When you put it all there, then you really see what you are worth and what you are doing. Data. Are you in the house? In this church, if you allow yourself to learn, you'll be blessed. Because we write data about everything. People say that we are a wealthy church. It is not really true. It is that decisions have been made based on what? Data. Decisions are made. Decisions are actually made based on data. Decisions are made. You will see that we'll have a visiting minister. And the visiting minister lives in the house, in our house. Not that we don't know how to send people to hotel. Not that we don't know. But number one, we like ourselves. Number two, I look at the data. One time I was going to put somebody in a hotel. When they told me the cost, I looked at the room, I said, nonsense. I think my house is way better. It's way better. It's okay. I'm taking the person to my house. Because when I did the math, no. Mm-hmm. At least if I'm going to put you in a hotel, I must give you something that I can't give you. Must give you something. Are you in the church? And these people, they are so prepared. They don't. You'll be talking. You'll be talking. You see? I'm just saying, do the math. If you do the math and it's working, no problem. And ask yourself, your offering, Ahibia. Hey, the church is very quiet. But it is through those wisdom principles that we are built. Yeah, you don't chop the money like that. Wow. May the Lord help us. I'm going to give everybody homework. Will you do it? I'm only giving it to Word Encounter. We are in the month of May. So this is, May is ending. From the 1st of June to the 31st of December, get somewhere, write down every money that comes to you. Is it a good exercise? Write down every money that comes. Then, 31st December, take a look at what is left. What's in the account? If you have bought a piece of land with it, put it there. After that, all of it is what you have eaten. Whether by data, by food, by fuel. By what. And let's see whether of a truth God has been bad to us or not. Someone should write it somewhere. I say homework. 1st June to 31st December. Put down all the... You see, what I'm telling you, I've done it before. I went to get my statement and I swore that the bank statement was lying. I said, no. It's not possible that these monies have... I just totaled all the payment, what has come in. And I said, me. This money has come to me as I'm standing here. It's not possible. It's not true. Ah, the bank is telling lies. Then I started going through one by one. As I was going through one by one, I said, oh, my goodness. Hey! And the Lord will help us. Are we going to do it? 31st night, we have a special deal. We shall compare notes. We shall share our testimonies. Not that I will be sharing, then you will be sitting and laughing at me. But we shall share some. And may God help us. I believe it will encourage us. It will make us really see that God is. Stand to your feet this afternoon. Stand to your feet. I have a feeling some of us need to talk to God about some things. I want you to just, for a minute, ask the Lord, Lord, what should I be thinking about that I'm not thinking? What should I be thinking about but I'm not thinking? Talk to him for a few minutes. Lord, what exactly, what are you directing me to think about?
What should I be thinking
about?
Talk to the Lord. What are you directing me to think about?
What should I have? It would have been better if I thought. Show me those things, Lord.
Lift up your voice and pray. Help me, Lord. On what to set my mind on. What to think, O Lord. Remandala bashando lobos. Remandala ba 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 Mi ando los mandererebe, Raymond dererebe, Limanda la ba 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 ba.
We give you
praise. Raymond la ba 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 ba, Shon dererebe. Iba la ba, Shon de liando la ba 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 ba.
Hold on for me. There's somebody here. I just feel that this is again my business people. Lord is saying, go and do the maths on something you are planning to do. It's not as you think, or you're either already in it. May the Lord help us to see our way clear. Father, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Help us to think our way through. Help us to see it clear. We thank you, God. We give you all the praise because we know that you are. Thank you so much, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you that we are enlarging. I see businesses enlarging. Oh yes, I see people becoming prosperous in the name of Jesus. I see people doing well. I see us enlarging in life. Somebody is enlarging in influence in the name of Jesus. And Father, we are grateful to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints shall say amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, even as we talk about enlargement, before we can speak about enlargement, you need to give your life to the Lord. He is the one through whom enlargement comes. You are here, you've not given your life to Jesus. Let me see your right hand up in the air. Just lift up your hand and we'll pray together. You're saying that, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. If your hand is up and I can't see you, I want you to just come to me. I want to just lead you to pray. Oh, come as in the day. Pastors, it's a good time to move around and see and talk to your people and draw them. You've not given your life to Jesus, but you want to do so now.
Today, come on to Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for saving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for blessing us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Very quickly, we want to have our communion. Very quickly. We want to go straight into communion at this time.
Take your holy communion. Lift up the bread. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the Holy Communion. When we eat of this bread, drink of this cup, let the blessings of Christ, Jesus came to bless us, let those blessings come upon us. The body of Jesus Christ. Body of Jesus Christ. Some mistakes in your relationships. Let the blood of Jesus speak for us. Cleanse us. Let the blood speak better things. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now lift your hands for the blessing. The Lord multiply you and bless you. The Lord increase you and favor you. The Lord anoint you and bless you. In the name of Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. May the blessings of Christ, why Jesus came to this world, be your portion.
Yes, Lord.
Beginning from this week, may you experience and feel the closeness of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life from now. Father, thank you for the blessing.
Thank you.
The blessing.
Thank you.
For your children. Let your face be lifted up and shine upon us. Have mercy on us. Forgive us for our sins.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
I pray. Amen. And everyone said amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
With all of me, I want to praise you.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter, @FOLCIUDRC. God richly bless you.